Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are turning towards life. This is a Sunday morning, a grey Sunday morning in London for us, Justin, and goodness knows where people are in the world and when people are in the world and how people are in the world listening to this. This week, I've had a big feeling into the community that's made by Turning Towards Life, Justin, and feel really glad of it and amazed at it. And so I want to say thank you to everybody for being here with us and for knowing each other too. I think that's what's moved me this week is the connection between people who listen to us, who come to our programs, and then what gets made out of their togetherness. So I'm feeling really glad of that. And in a way, this source, Justin, is that too. You know, it's bringing some of our community-ness back to the center of Turning Towards Life, which is really meaningful. And I want to say that to everyone, that you're all at the center of this. Anybody who listens to this, anybody who's part of our professional coaching program community, our alumni community, anybody who is a third space person, anybody who is a Turning Towards Life person, this is for us, and we're part of that too, and it's for you. And I'm just so glad that this is what we do in the world, Justin. So welcome everybody.
Me too. Thank you, Lizzie. Morning to you. Welcome to everyone. I love the idea, Lizzie, of us really declaring how everyone's a part of this. And I was just thinking about, as you were talking about, so for any of you who listen to us but don't yet know anybody else who listens to us, there are opportunities to connect. And one way to connect is join us in our Facebook group, and where all these conversations go out live, and you can chat to one another there in the comments, or you could email us, which puts you in contact with us, or you could come on one of our programs. So that's a fantastic way to meet other people. Very often people find their way to our Foundations of Coaching program or our professional coaching course or the other things that Third Space offers. People find us because of this, Lizzie, as you know, we know, and so wonderful connections are made there, and you can always find out about them at the wearethirdspace.org website. And as you said, Lizzie, this week's source is part of that, because this is a poem written by our friend and colleague and co-conspirator Debbie Dannon in response to our friend Rosemary Wotola Trauma. So hi, Debbie. Hi, Rosemary. Hoping you both get to hear this. And I brought this week, Lizzie, because Debbie sent it to me as the result of a conversation we were having this week about things we were in the middle of in this complicated, confusing world and how we might respond. And it just felt perfect. And as much as anything else, I brought it because I need it. And I sometimes think those are some of the best sources of the things we find that we need. So this is called Right Sized, a response to Rosemary Wotola Trauma's poem Big by Debbie Dannon. What if this is the year to learn to be right sized? I learned on the playground to flinch from arrogance. Please don't leave me. I promise to not get too big. But the cost I've learned is dear. Trading potential for false modesty, dampening power with every apology, neglecting my impeccable edges with every hedge. But then I remember what the rabbis knew. They stretched wide a red silk thread, at one end, arrogance. At the other end, not humility, but playing too small. They knew playing small was just arrogance by a different name. Placing comfort above contribution, our gifts withdrawn from the world for the price of fitting in. What if holding back is stealing? So in the middle, they placed a pair of right-sized shoes, yours, mine, the right sizing that awaits us all. What, I wonder, will it take for you to grow into your right size, the one that seems impossibly large and obnoxiously loud? Clownish as these shoes seem now, prone to stumbling, at first you'll feel the fall, and some people will have things to say. Some may even walk away. In this modesty-mad world, they're yet to clock that claiming your shoes does nothing to keep them from theirs. But now and then, you wake up to the truth that it's the world that's wrong, not you. These two small shoes will no longer do. So take your credit where it's due, and when no one offers it, give yourself a spoon daily. Take your space, trading in the apologies for gratitude. Minimize your emotions no more. They too deserve to expand to the full. Fill your circle with champions and learn to see yourself with the wonder of their eyes. And when you hit your stride and weather whatever, give up the surprise. When those shoes, once vast, grow snug, be sure to celebrate well, acknowledge yourself and your people and the view. Until another pair of shoes calls to you, between arrogance and avoidance on that red silk string, you are needed for, and this is no time, no world for stealing.
Justin. Right-sized by Debbie Danon. What if this is the year to learn to be right-sized? I learned on the playground to flinch from arrogance. Please don't leave me. I promise not to get too big. But the cost I've learned is dear. Trading potential for false modesty, dampening power with every apology, neglecting my impeccable edges with every hedge. But then I remember what the rabbis knew. They stretched a wide red silk thread, at one end arrogance, and at the other, not humility, but playing too small. They knew playing small was just arrogance by a different name, placing comfort above contribution, our gifts withdrawn from the world for the price of fitting in. What if holding back is stealing? So in the middle, they placed a pair of right-sized shoes, yours, mine, the right sizing that awaits us all. What, I wonder, will it take for you to grow into your right size, the one that seems impossibly large and obnoxiously loud? Clownish as these shoes seem now, prone to stumbling. At first, you'll feel the fool. Some people will have things to say. Some may even walk away. In this modesty-mad world, they're yet to clock that claiming your shoes does nothing to keep you from theirs. But every now and then, you wake up to the truth. That it's the world that's wrong, not you. These two small shoes will no longer do. So take your credit where it's due. And where no one offers it, give yourself a spoon daily. Take your space, trading in the apologies for gratitude. Minimize your emotions no more. They too deserve to expand to the full. Fill your circle with champions and learn to see yourself with the wonder of their eyes. And when you hit your stride and weather whatever, give up the surprise. Then those shoes, once vast, grow snug. Be sure to celebrate well. Acknowledge yourself and your people and the view until another pair of shoes calls to you between arrogance and avoidance on that red silk string. You are needed, and this is no time, no world for stealing.
There's something so joyful and vibrant about Debbie's way of writing this poem. It's hard to read it, Lizzie, with a somber voice or with sadness or something. It's they are words that touch into the aliveness that's inherent in us all. And what there's much to talk about in it, but what moved me enormously, really moved me, was this part near the top about what the rabbis of my tradition knew, Debbie's tradition. They stretched a wide silk thread, and at one end arrogance, and at the other end playing too small. So first of all, it's a beautiful image of stretching a thread. And it strikes me immediately that the right sizing that's called for from each of us when we can find a way, and Debbie's got lots to say in this about what it takes on the inside of us and who we need around us. You know, it's not just a solo effort for any of us to take up our proper size, but that there is a size, a stature for us to reach for that allows us to bring ourselves fully into the world, not too much, which is the end of arrogance that some of us do go into. We imagine that we have to sort of puff ourselves up and force ourselves into the world and be better than everyone and all of that. But also not too small. And for any of us who come from the playing too small side of things, Debbie's language here, that playing small is just arrogance by a different name, is really striking. And I've been watching myself this week in complicated situation that I'm in, playing too small, being on that end of this wide silk thread, and realizing that all of my playing too small is actually a way of trying to be in control of the situation, which is why it's kind of arrogant. So I'll play too small because I feel frightened about what other people will say, or I'll play too small because I'm frightened of what I'll feel, or I'll play too small because I'm worried about getting it wrong, or, you know, all those reasons why we hold back. And actually, they're all attempts to avoid some kind of experience, like fear or shame or something like that, or to look a particular way. You know, this place when Debbie says, people will say stuff and some of them will walk away. So at least in my experience, it feels really true that my playing too small is actually a way to try and be in control of what people will think of me and how I'll feel. And that really is a kind of arrogance, because what it says is you can't take what I can't take, right? But also you can't take what I think is true, what I really think or feel about something, what I think needs to happen, the decision that I'm going to make, the conversation that I need to have. I'm saying nobody can deal with that when I play too small, when I steal. And I know that as someone who has found a lot of safety in some parts of my life in playing too small, that is easy for me to think that being more, what's the word, generously clear about myself and the world would be a kind of arrogance. But that's also just part of my strategy for not stepping into my own responsibility. And I like to think about it here as, the last thing I'll say, really as a kind of responsibility. It's a kind of care. So there's arrogance, which is when we're trying to dominate the world, and there's playing too small when we're trying to dominate ourselves, I suppose. And in between, there's a kind of service that's called for, like it, actually taking care of things beyond my own worry. And anyway, I think I've sort of run out of road here, but in talking about it, that the two ends seem to be a kind of flight, and the middle, taking up our right size, seems to be an act of care. It's not just because I'll feel better, it's actually because I can serve and bring myself well in set care and service to others. That's the part I'm getting to, I think.
Gosh, there's a lot going on for me. Firstly, I'm really moved by this word arrogance, as if like everyone knows what that means. I suddenly don't know what that means. It's like, what does arrogance mean? What's the etymology of it? What are we talking about when we say it? And funnily enough, with that image of the red silk widespread and the shoes somewhere along it, I was thinking, well, what's it like to walk around in shoes that are too small, where it feels really debilitating? And what's it like to walk around in shoes that are too big, which, like, I basically can't walk because it's all flopping around. They're not my shoes. And that's not something that I associate with arrogance. But maybe that is the nature of arrogance in some way, which is that when we feel like we're seeking to control, I mean, but both ends of the silk are control, as you're saying. So it's like a funny thing. They're both the same thing. And I really resonate with that invitation to know that they're just the same thing with different names. That makes sense to me. But I think they probably manifest in the world through me differently. Like the body of the playing too small me is a kind of collapsed body. And I can feel myself, even as I'm speaking now, kind of going kind of inwards and being kind of diminished. But then, to use this word, not that I know what it really means, arrogance, if I was to be that energetically, I kind of know what it means, but I don't want to pin myself down to a definition of it. It feels like I'm puffed up and taking up a lot of space, but both places feel fearful to me. Both places feel like there's something at stake, that I have to protect it and I have to do something in order to maintain something that I've created, whether it's a smallness and a self-image, or whether it's a bigness and a self-image. So I'm really moved by the kind of the distinction between the different ends of this thing and finding ourselves somewhere along it. For any instance, it doesn't feel like we have one pair of shoes for our lives or something. It feels like there are different times when these different things are required. And also maybe there's another silk thread where we're not talking about the dichotomy of arrogance and too smallness, but we're talking about finding a, I don't know, like a different kind of scale of how responsive am I being? How attuned am I? Where am I in my authenticity to what's happening here? And maybe that's what it's saying already or something, but I can feel the this kind of intriguing part of me that also finds like the middle very compelling, but also knowing that the middle is not always the place to stand. Like middling sometimes isn't the way to go. And there are some times when I need to put some really big shoes on, and sometimes where I shouldn't have any shoes on at all. And it feels very kind of opening to me to consider that there are many, many ways to stand in the world and many circumstances and complexities. And, you know, just in what you were speaking about earlier, feels to me like a grand scale of complexity that we can find ourselves in. And in that, I think I come back to the same place again. It's so important to be in conversation with people about life, about what's going on, and how these poems and this beautiful contribution from Debbie is an invitation to reflection and wondering. And I have to say, this feels so potent, like another one where every line, like dampening power with every apology. Placing comfort above contribution. I mean, just like let's just take one line and let's just talk about one line.
Yeah, right.
It feels massive to me. And so I feel that this is a huge conversation, and I'm really grateful to be thrown, as I normally am, into, well, what does anything mean anyway? I think that's something that happens for me. It's like somebody writes something, somebody makes their contribution, and I get shot into like inquiry. I get shot into what does anything mean? Like, what do I mean when I say that? What is it to be obnoxious? What is that? It's like these words I feel like I've acquired, but I've never really sat and closed my eyes and thought obnoxious. What's happening in obnoxiousness? What is happening in arrogance? And I think I'm one of those people, Justin, that does come from the too small camp, and I've found my way to find my ground. And I feel like my shoes generally fit well these days, but I'm the obnoxious and the arrogance as undefined in me feel very also unfamiliar in me too. So I feel like I do them a disservice by not knowing what they are and not really being clear on what I even mean by that. It's like they kind of get thrown into the world, in my world anyway. And I was like, I suddenly don't know what it means. I don't know what it means to be arrogant. And I would really like to know.
Maybe there's a whole hundreds of weeks of turning towards life, Lizzie, where we take a word and its definition, and that's our source.
Yeah.
Arrogant. Three different definitions of it. And well,
yeah.
I love you. I'm really appreciating your attention to language and how important language is, which is this whole endeavor, isn't it? In a way, is sort of trying to name so that things can come forward and we can make sense of them together.
Mm.
Yes, as a person who grew up making myself too small, it served me really, really, really well in lots of circumstances. Like, it was a good strategy for a lot of my life, who's then had to find out how to take my stand so that things that matter can happen. I noticed that and I feel glad that very often I'm able to do that. There's been a big change over decades of paying attention in my life. And then I notice that when I'm in difficulty, I'll tend to go too small. So that's the habitual way. It's more like that's the way I'll go to protect myself, basically. But I think one of the things that I've been learning is, and it would be so good to look up arrogance and obnoxiousness and all of that. The thing I've been learning recently is that going too small and going too big aren't separate from one another. So the things that happen when I go too small aren't better for the world and better for other people. They're often just as bad as if I've made myself too big, but just in a different way. People get let down, people get confused. People feel controlled or manipulated by my not speaking up and saying what I really think. You know, there's a load of stuff there that's happening. And so I suppose that I notice when I'm in those places that the fearful parts of me, and they are both fear things, are afraid of being too big. But what that stops me doing, if I'm not careful, is taking up my right size.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, really struck by what you said that's so important. So there is a very individualistic way of reading these words, which would be like, Lizzie, you just got to be the right size, as if there is one right size. You know, I can say to you, Lizzie, you're not being the right size, you're being too small. And you said, essentially, I think you said, no, that's in relation to the world. There is no right size. There's only right size for a particular set of circumstances, a particular set of relationships, a particular moment. And it really helps us to learn how to flex our size. And it reminds me, it's a little bit like in my few years where I did some martial arts, it's like the continuum between being too soft and you know, too floppy in a way, and too rigid.
Mm.
And there's a degree of softness and rigidity that's, you know, like, what's the word? Softness and strength, maybe. It's not exactly the words I'm looking for. There's a degree of that that's called for in different situations. And if you calibrate it wrong for the situation, then all kinds of things happen. And if you are fixed, if you go, well, I'm always going to be this soft or this rigid, you'll just be in trouble all the time, apart from those very, very, very few occasions where your particular habitual way meets the world. And it's no way to take care of yourself or to take care of anyone else that way. So I think your words allow me to read Debbie's poem as a sort of, you could read it as if it were true always, like there's an answer to all of the provocations that the words give us. Or you could see it as a continuum over time, and what we're being invited to do is to move along between the ends and start to be sensitive to the world. And it's our stuckness in a particular place that causes us difficulty more than the place itself.
Yeah. I'm suddenly getting really intrigued as well by the words arrogance and obnoxiousness. I mean, I think there may be others too. Because also they feel like in our culture, maybe other cultures too, less attractive or less acceptable in our modesty mad world, as Debbie's saying it, less acceptable in the too small place. Like when someone says they're too small, it's easy to feel like, oh, well, you know, that's really difficult. And when somebody's really arrogant, I don't say, oh, that's really difficult. You know, I'm like, I can feel my judgments coming up, you know, and I take myself as an individual self, but also a product of the world of like, arrogance isn't acceptable, but being too small is, because it's understandable kind of thing. And then again, I feel like in the big inquiry of, well, and like you're saying, Justin, sometimes these different aspects of self are necessary at different times. And again, I don't know. I think the context matters so much. And, you know, if I was demanding everybody get out of a building because it was on fire, I wouldn't be called arrogant. But if I was demanding everybody did exactly what I wanted them to do in a different context, I would be called arrogant. And I just think there's so much in the way that all of our different cultures and the culture at large and the bigger stories that we live in value certain things as like acceptable and other things aren't acceptable. And again, I just feel thrown into asking what that is all about and not landing on my, oh yes, and obnoxiousness is bad and arrogance is bad. But well, how do I open my heart to those things? Like, how do I go, well, what is it to stand in those shoes? And maybe there's some gifts there for me. Maybe there's gifts at every point, at every time. And in the too smallness, what am I, like if I treated every place that I stood along that thread as an opening of inquiry, what would that be? Like you're doing, you're saying, oh, this is a too smallness I'm experiencing. So how am I behaving? How are people responding? What am I making in the world by being there? And I love that. I love that sense of each of these places we find ourselves in. being an opening, being a wondering, being an inquiry, being a learning, being a goodness knows what it means to be here. Or, oh my gosh, look, I'm feeling arrogant. What's happening with me? What am I doing? What am I, how am I being? Is that label even the right label for me? Maybe I'm just being confident, but I've got a judgment on people who are confident because I feel too small. And actually, this is okay. And I welcome arrogance, whatever it means. But it's so easy to put like judgmental words on states that might not even be the right word for them, if that makes sense. Yeah. So for someone who is too small and suddenly they're being really gregarious, for example, they could take themselves to be being arrogant and judging themselves for something when actually they're in a growth edge and that really matters. And I think that's kind of what Debbie's saying, is like when we move along this lovely thread, we get to see different parts of ourselves and recognize when our culture is saying, no, that's not the right way to be, and grow beyond that, grow beyond what everyone has told us that we should be, and watching out for the people who have things to say and wondering whether they're trying to keep you in a certain something that has everything be the way it always was, and you playing your part in that is somehow they're invested in it. So I feel very, my goodness, shot into 100,000 inquiries. I'm really grateful for it. And I just think we could bring this poem back every week, and hopefully Debbie's happy about that.
That's Debbie, if we can bring it back again. As we come towards ending for today, Lizzie, I'm also left with us the possibility that your point about situational appropriateness, that sometimes being too big is really, really damaging and dangerous, and we see people do that all over the place, and sometimes being too small is equally damaging and dangerous.
Yeah.
But also I'm left with something else, which is, it's easy for me to see people who are at the what I might judge as the arrogant end as somehow wrong or maybe frightening. And you said, yeah, but maybe both of those extremes come from fear. So what would it be like for me to, as well as holding whatever judgments I might have about the impact of people's actions on the world, which I really care about and I think we always need to pay attention to, what if I were to get more interested in the people around me? And I'm not talking about the people ranting online or misusing their power. And I'm starting just close in for now. The people who I would normally avoid because I've got judgments about their judgments or judgments about their way. I wonder what it would be for each of us to extend towards the people who are at the end of this ends of the spectrum that we have judgments about, to really try to get to know them and have them know us. Because many of us might have judgments about the people at the, what's here called the arrogant or the too big end. But also many people have judgments of the people who are at the apparently too small end, and recognizing that there are difficulties, but also real gifts in all of these positions. So I'm thinking about what it would be like to get around a table together and, you know, with all this difference rather than retreating into our own preferred end of things. Anyway, what a fantastic conversation. Lizzie, thank you to you as always. Thank you, Debbie, for this poem, and Rosemary for inspiring it. And thank you to all of you who are with us. Please feel very free to welcome to write to us, hello at or Lizzie at or Justin at turningtowards.life. You can support us if you are moved by these conversations or find them useful at turningtowards.life. There's a support us button, and rate this on Apple Music and all those kind of places where it helps to spread things around. But mostly, none of that. Mostly just thank you for being with us and for coming back and for sharing this with people you love. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.